What's not to like about train travel? I must admit, this isn't your normal train journey. I'm sipping very nice wine. I'm lying on a bed. I have a lamp right next to me. I'm on the bottom bunk of two. And I'm looking out of the smaller of two windows, which I've lifted the blind ever so slightly on so that I can watch the world pass by outside. Travelling up the northeastern side of Italy, very close to the Slovenian border. And I'm just reminding myself how much I love train travel. I must admit, this is no ordinary train though. I'm surrounded by beautiful wood, exquisitely crafted, inlaid in many places with intricate designs. What isn't wood is brass. Most of the fittings are brass. What isn't brass is pewter, like the racks, the storage systems, and the heavy table lamp. Even the ladder that leads to the top bunk is upholstered. I mean, who goes to the trouble of upholstering a ladder unless they want to ensure that your feet are comfortable as you climb the ladder into bed? This whole cabin is probably the same size as the super king size bed we slept in last night, and it's certainly a thing of beauty. There are many, many cabins on this train, the VSOE, the Venice Simplon Orient Express. It's like stepping back in time. It's like entering this timeless age when there was no rush, that the journey was important, that people didn't need to be somewhere yesterday, and it was okay to enjoy the journey. I'm quite happy to hitchhike or camp in a ditch, sleep up a tree, bushcraft. This is the other end of the spectrum. This is really interesting, kind of journey into opulence in a way. Definitely a kind of once-in-a-lifetime experience for some, including myself, I think. You have to dress up, which is a large part of the experience, the environment that you're becoming a part of, this almost lost era. And when I was walking through the piano bar, yes, there is a bar with a piano, in my tuxedo, and wondering on why it was actually a grand piano and they didn't think a baby grand was enough, you realise, well, trains are noisy, and maybe a grand piano is required to be heard over the sound of travel in the background. And there's many people from all kinds of walks of life sat drinking, enjoying nibbles and cocktails and champagne and wine and beer on very comfy chairs, as in this instance Land of Hope and Glory was being played on the piano. I couldn't help but smile as I walked through, and the incredibly courteous staff saying hello and asking if there was anything that I needed. The staff who just seemed to be in a constant state of sweating because they're working so incredibly hard to ensure absolutely everything the passenger needs is to hand. We're kind of assigned someone to this cabin, and you know, they're not turning down the beds, they're checking you've got enough drinking water and telling you, you know, what time breakfast is going to be brought into the cabin tomorrow, and should you need any assistance, press this button, should you need a reading light, press this button. The technology in the cabin is functional and limited, I guess. It's very functional in the way that the whole cabin has been beautifully crafted by just amazing, amazing craftspeople, because it's not until you see wood worked in this way do you appreciate exactly what it can do and how much molded plastic just doesn't cut it. The hinges, the corners, the edges, everything just feels so cozy and comfortable and warm and welcoming and cocoon-like. I have a weird kind of hammock storage system just above where I am at the moment, because I'm kind of lying in my bed the wrong way so that I can look out the window and watch the world go by. And the intricate hinges that are everywhere, the way the beds work and come out from a wall almost invisibly because they were a comfy sofa beforehand. It's amazing. It is so phenomenally luxurious. I was blown away by the toilet at each end of the carriage as well. You have kind of an ensuite sink area, which is amazing in itself in the way that that works and comes out of the corner of your cabin, but the toilets at either edge of the carriage are again brass and wood and definitely deserve a small photo study tomorrow, because I think without any hesitation actually they are the most beautiful toilets I've ever used. And this attention to detail is just the kind of the tip of this experience of the Orient Express. Makes me wish we could travel at a more reserved pace more often. I'm not saying that we need to have 4-5 course meals with incredible ingredients. Dinner was absolutely superb. Drinks on the costly side for the likes of me, but again, nothing disappointed. It's nice that I can drink a bottle in the cabin, though. There's something incredibly romantic about train travel. I like the way you can just drop the window and stick your head out and feel a part of the country that you're travelling through. I love the fact that you can see the train as it curves around the tracks, and that these particular carriages must have so many incredible stories to tell. There is no rush. This is a very social form of transport. You're stopping in the corridors. You're having conversations. Everybody is going the same direction as you, so you ultimately feel like you have something in common with everybody. I wish we'd invest more in our train systems. It doesn't have to be as opulent or as extravagant as this, but I'd quite happily take the night train on long distances if it was just thought out a little bit more. I'd pay that little bit extra to avoid having a hotel room if I could have a cabin like this. To go to sleep in one place and watch the world pass by your window and wake up somewhere else. And kind of felt you've experienced something, that you've lived the journey. I've definitely got a soft spot for rail travel, and I can't see how rail travel could ever get any better than this.